This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Again, if you're listening to the show on KALW, we hope you can tune in to the presidential debate tonight at 6 o'clock to 7:30. And then we will offer analysis and we'll take your calls for an hour. So what are your thoughts? We'd love to hear what you think about tonight's debate. And if you'd like to join us right now, what questions would you like the moderators to specifically ask about the climate crisis? Extreme heat is cooking central and southern parts of the United States, affecting 55 million people. Some reports say it's actually 100 million people. In many cities, temperatures could reach up to 110 degrees. Much of the Midwest was also still under flood and tornado warnings as of Wednesday after experiencing days of historical levels of rain. In Saudi Arabia, this is so tragic. The Associated Press reports more than 1,300 people died during this year's pilgrimage to Mecca. 1,300 people. And then in Greece, at least 10 tourists have gone missing or been found dead after undertaking demanding hikes in the scorching heat. There's just so much going on. Officials are searching for missing people after wildfires burned 25,000 acres in New Mexico, and a growing wildfire in central Oregon prompted evacuations yesterday. For those of us in Northern California, we know about the fire that just happened here. Today's guest, Evlando Cooper, writes, considering these pressing challenges, the 2024 debates must feature robust discussions about climate change and climate solutions, providing the candidates ample time to thoroughly detail their planned responses and policies. Evlando Cooper is a senior writer with the Climate and Energy Program at Media Matters, a nonprofit dedicated to monitoring, analyzing, and correcting misinformation in the media. Hi, Evlando. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be on.
Well, it's great to have you. Before we dive in and talk about what questions you think should be asked, you've got another piece that you wrote on June 12th called National TV News Largely Ignored the Climate Connection During Coverage of the Recent Extreme Heat Events. You report that just 12% of segments across national TV news connected the Southwest heat wave to climate change. So tell us, what else did you find?
Yeah, I mean, that's the large finding. I mean, typically we monitor coverage of discrete extreme weather events, and we call upon the media to do a better job of, at baseline, connecting these events to climate science. And with much better climate attribution studies out there now, we think this is a easier lift for them to do. But in addition to that, we actually ask them to do a better job of contextualizing these extreme weather events. And so far, we haven't been seeing that. We haven't been seeing consistent and substantive coverage of these extreme weather events.
What would you say explains this? Because year after year, these studies come out, and we have more information now than ever. I mean, even on some stations, meteorologists are providing mm-hmm. this information yes. and connecting the dots. So, why do you think the networks are not making these connections?
Believe it or not, they're actually doing better than they have been in the past, right? Mm-hmm. But we pushed them to go much further. And I think the reason why they haven't been is, again, because they're covering extreme weather as a discrete event. They're not actually understanding how global warming drives and connects the things that we see, like in Saudi Arabia, the things that we see in California, the Midwest flooding, the scary predictions for hurricane season this year. This catalog of horrors is being driven by climate change, driven by global warming, and it's also being driven by the burning of fossil fuels by the fossil fuel industry. And so I think part of it is they just aren't making these larger connections. They aren't seeing climate change as kind of the background hum of a lot of other important issues. And we think when they start making that connection, they'll do a better job on their climate coverage.
You point out that at some of Donald Trump's recent rallies in Arizona and Nevada, multiple attendees at both events required medical attention for heat-related conditions.
Right. And I think that's another, I mean, that was a missed opportunity that we point out, because, you know, oftentimes what you'll hear is that it's hard to kind of work climate into these stories. It may not be a direct connection. But to me, if a candidate is holding a rally, a candidate who's been opposed to climate action or has cast doubt on climate change is holding a rally that is experiencing an extreme weather event, and the science says it's going to almost be uninhabitable in 50 to 100 years, I think it's important to kind of, you could work that policy discussion into the coverage of the rally, into the coverage of the extreme weather event. And I think these are the kind of missed opportunities that we'd like to see them do a better job on.
Right. And then that brings us to tonight's debate, because we know that so many people are going to watch this debate.
Yes.
What are you hoping the moderators ask the candidates around the climate?
At a minimum, my expectation is that we will see some discussion of climate change. We saw that kind of groundbreaking discussion of climate change in 2020. The questions were kind of a mixed bag. I'm hoping to see improvement upon that. I'm hoping to actually see the moderators challenge the candidates to actually detail their specific policies to address climate change. And I'm also hoping to see them work climate change into discussions of other issues, such as national security, such as the economy, because, again, it is the background hum of so many different issues. It's not the most important issue, but it's a critical part of a lot of other issues.
Right, exactly. I mean, it is so connected to environmental justice. We know that people in California and across the country are losing their home, their house insurance. I mean, there's pregnant women are having issues who are living in extremely hot temperatures. People who are unhoused have a hell of a time out there in this hot weather. So as you say, it's connected to so many other issues.
Yeah, you were talking about... you know, the UN found that the United States is not, most countries aren't meeting their climate commitments. The United States was a leader in that with the Paris Climate Accords. We've pulled back from that. It's a global cooperation issue. It's a national security issue. When you hear the military writing reports saying how climate change is eroding America's defenses, if that's, you know, your particular bag, it's a national security issue. It's a public health issue, as you mentioned. I mean, these heat waves are making large swaths of the country uninhabitable for large amounts of time. You have local governments not being able to have the resources to actually adequately address this. You have insurance companies pulling out of major markets across the country. So it's a public health issue. It's an economic issue, and it's a jobs issue, right? I mean, there's a lot of doom and gloom around the current climate scenarios, but we also have an opportunity to discuss solutions that can not only mitigate the worst impacts of climate change, but also drive positive changes in our economy.
It also, I think, is an opportunity to really educate people about these issues, especially people who, frankly, don't trust very mainstream media anymore and might get all of their news from Newsmax. I mean, we know that that is a major problem in our society today. So it's a great way for the moderators to educate people. For example, on President Biden to say, you know, look, environmental justice activists say that you're doing more on the environment than anyone else. But at the same time, you're approving oil and gas drilling. And there's a lot of issues in there that I know cannot come up in these kind of quick debates that we have here. But like the original Build Back Better bill was very ambitious. I mean, environmental justice activists said it was an incredible bill. And then you had someone like Joe Manchin really dilute it. So what are your thoughts specifically on Biden? What do you think moderators should bring up about his record and then to really push him on these issues?
Yeah, I think they would say that their major climate policy is the Inflation Reduction Act. I think there should be questions around that, around, you know, maybe if they would go further. I mean, if you look at the debates being hosted in Georgia, Georgia actually has seen a great benefit from clean energy policies. So these are just opportunities to kind of weave in the record during the conversation and, you know, find out if, you know, if there are more policies, if there's more a stronger push in the next administration, if we were to win, to go much further, to do what the science says that we need to do, which is transition away from fossil fuel economy.
And And then when it comes to Donald Trump, again, such an opportunity for the moderators to educate people. The Washington Post had a piece last month as Donald Trump sat with some of the country's top oil executives at his Mar-a-Lago club in April. One executive complained about how they continue to face burdensome environmental regulations despite spending $400 million to lobby the Biden administration in the last year. Trump's response stunned several of the executives in the room. "You are all wealthy enough," he said, "that you should raise $1 billion to return me to the White House." At the dinner, he vowed to immediately reverse dozens of Biden's environmental rules and policies and stop new ones from being enacted, according to people with knowledge of the meeting. "Giving $1 billion would be a deal," said Trump, "because of the taxation and regulation they would avoid thanks to him." I mean, this should be asked at tonight's debate. You basically ask these oil execs for $1 billion, and in return, you're going to give them what they want and reverse Biden's environmental rules. Can you please confirm that? Wouldn't it be nice to hear that question?
I mean, it's a layup. I mean, you know, it's a very public meeting. We've written about it. We've written about how the news media covered it, didn't cover it. And yeah, I think it's an easy question to probe the candidates, Trump specifically, on his specific interactions with the fossil fuel industry. Because we need to understand how, if and how, he will maintain regulatory integrity and independence from industry pressures. And if this was a quid pro quo. And I think the American people deserve to see how he answers that question.
And then to go to Project 2025, which, again, we're starting a series on this next Wednesday.
Wow.
Project 2025's blueprint includes repealing the Inflation Reduction Act, which sets aside $370 billion for clean technology. It does a number of things. What are your thoughts on, I really hope that Jake Tapper asks about Project 2025 tonight. I don't know. Do you know, has Trump been asked, are you going to implement Project 2025 if you go back to the White House?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure whether he's been directly asked that question. But to your larger point, I think it's very clear that both of these candidates have markedly different approaches to climate policy and to environmental policy, to industry regulation. And I think it's crucial that the moderators tonight, Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, take them through a thorough exploration of their contrasting visions for climate action, for climate change. And we need to hear their specific plans for very specific ideas, such as emissions reductions, the clean energy transition, and environmental justice. And I just hope that, like you mentioned, that the moderators do take the time and energy to kind of highlight some of these specific points about both of their records.
Exactly. And bring facts to the table. And if they don't answer the question, for example, Peter in Florida, I'm sorry, we don't have time to take your call. But Peter says, aren't the candidates just going to do dancing around these issues or greenwashing around these issues, giving lip service but no action? So let's hope that the moderators really push them to offer concrete plans. Before we let you go, can you just remind us, we just don't have much time here. I mean, we've had so many scientists on the show who say we have to cut global carbon emissions in half by 2030. So the next president is going to determine whether or not we do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we hear the phrase is the most important election, most important debate. But I think in many ways, it's true. And I think the media, specifically tonight's moderators, has almost a more important job than the candidates, because if the questions aren't asked, if they aren't properly framed, if the candidates aren't challenged on their positions to go deeper than just kind of ready-made sound bites, then people won't actually understand the difference in their records. They won't understand what the stakes are. And the longer we delay in mitigating climate change and adapting to what's already occurring, we're going to keep playing catch-up, and the window is rapidly closing for any kind of meaningful action to save off the worst consequences. So that's why I'm hoping that we see this kind of discussion that the American people have long deserved, and that candidates are able to defend and discuss their policies.
You make such a good point, Evlando, about the role of the moderators. I mean, every media outlet is doing the horse race coverage about what these candidates need to do, how they're preparing and all of that. But the moderators, I'm not hearing many people focus on that.
Yeah, I've been listening to kind of a lot of the pregame discussion. And yeah, you're right. It's a lot of the optics and, you know, the things that voters do care about. But in my perfect world, the moderators would lead these discussions in a way that doesn't let it devolve into kind of the food fight that we saw in 2020, but actually challenges them in a way that forces them to defend their records in a way that voters can really see the differences in their approaches. And, you know, all I have is hope for tonight. I think we'll all be watching to see what happens. But I think I'll have my fingers crossed to, you know, if nothing else, on this very crucial issue, among many other crucial issues, people do get to see the conversation that they deserve to make the decisions that they need to.
Right. And Evlando, I'm looking at so many of your articles. I mean, you do such a great job of monitoring the media coverage of these, just about, especially national TV news, because we know so many people get their news from the broadcast networks, especially the 5 o'clock news. Are you finding overall, though, that there's more attention on these issues, given that it's just hitting everyone now?
Yeah, that's the one encouraging part. And I'm glad I have a chance to speak to that.
We have about a minute left.
Okay. Polls show that large swaths of Americans, including a majority of Republicans, a conservative, care about climate change and want to see the government do something to address it. And so the media has to be responsive to the voters and the viewers. And if they are, then we will see the kind of conversations that we deserve. And we'll get a debate that actually informs us about their approaches to climate change and climate action.
Evlando Cooper is senior writer with the Climate and Energy Program at Media Matters, a nonprofit dedicated to monitoring, analyzing, and correcting misinformation in the U.S. media. You can find the really important pieces he writes about how the media cover the climate crisis at yourcallradio.org. Evlando, thank you so much for your work, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And again, if you're listening to Your Call on KALW, be sure to tune in tonight at 6 to hear the debate. It'll run from 6 to 7:30. Then we will spend an hour offering analysis and we will take your calls. We hope you can tune in tonight. And thank you so much for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.